And someone's like, Lord, there's so much freedom that sometimes people just don't ask you what would be important to you. And so I'm sitting here like, where is everybody? So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, even your typical person just comes out to church on Sunday. So, you know, why isn't this church growing more? And the Lord showed me it's because I'm a woman. Yeah, I started reading. Women are the most persecuted, more than black male pastors. They can have really big churches. Women aren't supposed to be pastors according to tradition. And, you know, I've been a woman my whole life. And I will die being a woman. I mean, I don't care how, if there's 10 people here, if it goes down to one, I'm still going to stay a woman. I'm not changing. And I could do what some, you know, I could do what some people do. And I'm saying they do this, but I could just put a title on my husband and show his face and then do all the preaching and all the teaching and all the overseeing. Because some people say it's okay then. And there's ministries that do that. But I'm not doing that. And then the Lord, I was reading this thing and all these reasons why I couldn't be a overseer. I didn't even want a church. I didn't make any of this up. I never tried to be a pastor. I don't care. God's in charge of all this stuff. And there is no male or female in the spirit. And there is a lot of stuff. But it's something that's in there biblically that people can look at if you're under legalism. But, you know, if you're that legalistic, you're not going to like it here anyway. But then I was reading the same person's book who told me I couldn't be a pastor no matter what. There's something there guys showing me. Oh my gosh, some people don't like this. And do you know what? And the guy gave me the scripture to me. I said, Lord, give me something. Because honestly, I don't care about being overseer, pastor, or whatever. I don't care, whatever. I mean, I didn't come up with any of this. And I said, Lord, you know, if I'm really out of your will, I don't want to show up in heaven. And he gave me the scripture in Timothy that talks about all that. And the one thing right after about, you know, the women submitting to their husbands, it talks about the master and the slave. And the Lord said to me, do you really think that I approve of slavery? I said, no, Lord, because you own everybody and you would never approve of a human being owning another human being. The Lord says, do you think this word was supposed to be interpreted through a hierarchy? I said, no, Lord, you've shown me there's no hierarchy in heaven. He said, so they chose where to make man mean everybody and where to make man mean a male. Because the Bible says, there's places where it says, put off the old man. Does that mean every woman is supposed to walk around being what she's always been because we don't have an old man? What, are we supposed to put our husbands out at the door? What are we doing? You know, how do I put off the old man? I mean, it's like, wait a minute. How did it come they knew that man? Why did that man mean man? And then the man over here doesn't mean man and woman, you know? That's what God gave me. He said, things are interpreted through where they're at. I didn't come to change society. I came to change the heart of man. And if you get legalistic, you can make this say anything you want, anyhow you want to say it. And the Lord's like, I called you, I anointed you, and I appointed you. And actually, I'm very thankful because only people who can get free enough to be led by the Spirit will be here. And then I read the same person's book about his big church. And in his big church, almost no one tithes the 10%. And the average tithe in the average church under legalism is 2.5% of their income. And I thought, God, without even trying to teach anybody here, hardly, we hardly even bring it up. Our tithe, most people here have enough fear of the Lord and a reverent heart to do what he wants that the tithe for most people is over 10% in this place. The giving is over 10%. And that's without my, that means, think about it. They give two, one of you give 10, you're equal to five other people being here. We're full, praise God. But do you see what I'm saying? It's because you don't have to make these people do something because for them to even be here, they had to already break through all of that. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, just keep bringing it, you know. But I didn't even, it was like, I asked him why and he showed me. But now I'm not trying to change my gender. Amen. And I'm not putting a title on, I could find, there's men here who are anointed. We could just give them the title. But that would be playing games. I'm just not doing it. I'll just take, if we're never big, because people can't get past that, but we impact the Philippines and we set people free and we have something so powerful that other people come for conferences or something to take some of it back, but they wouldn't come here. Praise God. Who cares? And so I really had to get to the point to see, oh my gosh, you know, to be a woman pastor is a very, very persecuted. And you can't from scripture totally tell them, oh, you're really wrong. But the same person, honestly, if they want to be biblical, and this actually was a book from a black pastor, why doesn't he point out that according to his way of interpreting scripture, we should still have slavery and somehow say that's biblical? It's funny, the two are side by side. And the Lord said, when people want a hierarchy and people want to rule over other people, they're going to use this word to try to do it. But when people get free and love me and have my heart, they're going to recognize the anointing. They're going to recognize the freedom in Christ. And so it's like, oh. And I'm just saying this to say, you know, there's all these different things going on you don't even think about. I probably shouldn't have asked. I mean, it's okay. I was like, oh, God, I can't do much about this one, you know. And if I tried, we'd have to do a deliverance, so that wouldn't be good, you know. So anyway, back to this Galatian thing about vainglory. All right, let us not become. Okay, one thing about this, it means you can. It means you can. As you grow in God and as you mature and as you know more things, you can actually become vainglorious. And you got to go to the one ahead of it. But the ones belonging to Christ crucified the flesh with its passions and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So the key to not becoming vainglorious as we're maturing in God and as we're recognizing the gifts and as we're getting free in all these areas is to walk in the Spirit. Because when you walk in the Spirit, you can't touch the glory. Because when you walk in the Spirit, you see Him face to face. When you walk in the Spirit, you hang out with God. And when you really get to know Him, the last thing you want to even think is that you are worthy of touching His glory. And you don't need to. God, it's all about you. It's good that it's all about Him. And you just got to get real enough to say, is this all about Him or is this about me? And you need to get free from the being about me because that's the vainglory part. He said, let us not become vainglorious. When we become vainglorious, this is what you're getting to, vainglorious provokes one another and envies one another. So one of the keys of comparing, because vainglory can't be there if you don't compare yourself, can it? How can you feel like you're all that or that you're nothing if you don't compare yourself? If you were the only person on the world, in the world, I guess you can be all in the world. Let's say you're off on an island somewhere. You can't even get to a mirror. You don't have any concept about commercials or what somebody else looks like with makeup or without. You just don't have any idea. And you're stuck on an island somewhere because that's where you, God just plopped you on an island. There'd be nobody to compare yourself with. Well, I mean, I guess you could get messed up and compare yourself with the monkeys and the other things. And you probably feel good about yourself because you probably think you're better than them. Do you know what I'm saying? You wouldn't have anything to compare it to. And vainglory is comparing yourself to others and thereby provoking them. And this judgment spirit we're talking about thrives in an atmosphere of causing you to compare yourself. It's like I was saying, it just hit me Thursday sitting over here. What would make someone, if they hung out, but they weren't hanging out with me and who I'm hanging out with, what would make them think that their group was inferior to hanging out with me? And it's the thing with racism. The enemy's done such a great job in America that many black people, African Americans, don't like themselves for something that is ridiculous, but that the enemy has done. So the first key to getting rid of bitterness in the black community is to give them the truth to set them free from the lies that Satan has placed on people by comparing us one to another. And there's no such thing as an oppressor when we're free in the kingdom of God. No one can stop me from being a minister if God's called me to minister. And no one can stop one penny from coming into this place to pay the bills that God's going to pay. And no one can stop one person from being here that God's bringing here. That's the freedom. No one can stop you from getting a job. You might need a miracle given society, but what a great place to be, because he's the miracle God. I need a miracle to see this place filled up. Do you know what? I'd rather have a miracle to see this place filled up than to have it easily be filled up by a bunch of people who want entertainment or supernatural fall down zap. So when God fills this up, it's going to be a miracle. Well, that's what I like. It's not up to me to fill it up. I can't. I got too much going against me according to legalism and too much going against me according to what people are taught. Good. Because now when it's filled up, we know who gets the glory. If you get that job that's supposed to be impossible, guess who gets the glory when you get it? Nothing wrong with that. We need to be excited about God doing things that seem impossible for his glory. And if you get off this judging cycle and get out of contention, then it's all going to be miraculous. Well, isn't that where you want to live? Isn't it? I want to live in the miraculous. I want to live where I know that I know God paid for that building. I want to live where I know that I know every seat is filled because of God working and not about me. I want to know that my kids are doing the things God has them to do because of what he's done in their lives and not about what I did and how I controlled them or how I made things perfect. It's time to let go and let God absolutely be the miracle God. It's God who pays Edie's bills. It's God that she could go to the Philippines as a single mom when her ex-husband is barely paying child support, if even gets around to paying child support, and she's living in a house that God gave her that looked impossible for God to give her exactly what she asked for, he gave her. He's not going to just now go and take the welcome mat out and say, ooh, move out, because now on your own, I expect you to figure out how to pay this. We ought to be excited because we got a miracle God. But really, we truly ought to start really saying, okay, God, nobody can do this but you. Even tonight, Lord, only you can heal Elizabeth. The doctors not only can't take credit for it, they absolutely won't even see her again to be able to try to. So this is it, God. Your mercy is going to do this thing. Your mercy is going to do this thing. Your mercy is going to open the doors for us to go to the Philippines. Your mercy, I'm glad we don't know anybody big. If God wants us to know somebody big in whatever, then yay, do it, God. I'm not judging. I don't care. It's just not about me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. Your deliverance is not about you. It's about him. Your victory is not about you. It's about him. You're getting free from, but as long as you keep this judge in your brain, you actually stay in the kingdom of darkness. Because this judge keeps you touching his glory. This judge teaches you, anybody who has a judge demon, that's your way of being superior. And you know, it's really hard when you really think you're superior to want to let go of that. But boy, is there freedom there. And it's very difficult if the lie you've bought is this is the only thing that gives you any superiority or any value, because then you're afraid to let go of it. Isn't there anybody here who just wants to free fly? Just fall out and say, I don't want to have to judge anything anymore. I don't want to have to think about that anymore. I just want to enjoy my life. I just really want to enjoy my life. I want God to open the doors for me. I want God to close the doors for me. I want God to make a way for me. I want God to do things I've never even thought possible to do. I want God to just completely, absolutely be in charge of my life. And I want this judgmental demon out of my head, causing me to constantly take his place in other people's life, which opens the door for the devil to take God's place in my life. I'm out of this system. I'm not contending with you. I'm not striving with you. I'm not judging you. I'm not taking your baloney anymore. I'm not letting it get to me anymore. I'm closing the provoking demon in me, that demon who sits in there waiting to see how he can tell me somebody's trying to judge me, somebody's trying to hurt me, trying to make me feel like I'm nothing. I was finished with this one. When I was talking to Edie that day, God took all the grace. He took all the grace. And now I realize I probably never totally, I know I hated this once before because God showed me how I used it with my mom. And I really hated it, but I don't know that maybe some of it was still left in there with this provoking thing. Because when you provoke somebody else and you get them to react, you play superior to them. And you allow the devil to say, see what a failure you are. See what a nutcase you are. If anybody knew that you yelled like this, if anybody knew that you talked to your children like this, if anybody knew, well, folks, the main one knows. The main one already knows. We're going to get free tonight. How many in this place has acted like a total idiot towards their children or their spouse? Stand up. I mean, you have screamed, rant, and raved, and acted like a nut. Or to your parents if you don't have children. To anybody. Somebody has been able to make you act like a nut. I mean, it doesn't have to be recent. I mean, I haven't acted like a main nut for years. Mine was old nut. It doesn't matter. There was a time when I was like to a two-year-old going, what is wrong with you? Don't you think you suck like that anymore? I'm like, what is wrong with me? Let's go in the house. Lock the door. Oh, God, I can see where somebody can beat a kid. I can see where the devil can provoke somebody to beat their own kid. It's horrible. How bad would you feel? How horrible would you feel? But when these demons come up and try to make you do what you judged, it's only God's mercy and grace you didn't give into it. All right, you can sit down now. Now that we see. All right. It's a little bit freeing not to keep doing it now. We're going to get rid of it, all right? But I told Edie, and I haven't felt this kind of anger until that morning, because I got up and Edie was doing this. And this thing came up a couple times this year, and she wouldn't deal with it. And I learned, you don't make people deal with it. God will either remove them or they'll decide to deal with it. It's not up to you, even husbands, parents, anyone else. If the child's really young, you really work on them. But just trust God to bring it around when they'll want to deal with it. I had a situation with Michael this week where about 2 years ago, Sam and Margaret, because he's, I need somebody smaller. Wait a minute, who's really small? Well, Matthew's a guy. That's not, he's not that small. Rachel, you're pretty small. No, Susan, get up here. You're pretty small. You're taller. We're not comparing. Oh, we're not comparing. You're still not that small compared to me and Michael, but anyhow. But here's what my Michael would do. Michael's a lot bigger than this would be with her. But he would be, where's the little kid? Give me Corey or something. No, that's okay. But Michael would, he would push me like this, like kind of kidding, but like, hey, you know, lady, like this kind of thing. And I'd go, don't hit me. And he'd do it again. And it, you could tell there was a spirit on you. You could sit down. But he'd get right in my face like this. But he's like, he's kidding, like, ooh, you know, see these guns, all this stupid stuff. And anybody knows Michael can really get this picture. But it was spiritual. It wasn't just like a kid kidding. It was a demon. And I remember saying to him about a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, I said, this is a demon. You need to get rid of this thing. He goes, oh, Mom, everything's a demon to you. Oh, Mom, you know. And I said, the day's going to come when you're going to wish you didn't have this thing. And I said, when it does, you need to talk to me. Because you can't make them get rid of it. And I just bound it. I said, God, anything in me, you know, that has that thing, get it out, whatever. So it didn't bother me. Didn't see him do it for a while. Well, a girlfriend just broke up with him. And he came home, and the reason was because she was afraid of him. Because he goes, I don't know, Mom, something just comes over me and I get like I'm acting tough and I really don't mean it, I'm kidding. And I didn't know for sure where it came from, but that morning, I woke up the next morning and I knew in my spirit, when he was a little kid, he was accused of being a bully because he was a lot bigger than this other little kid. And when he was accused of being a bully, he actually got suspended for a day. Well, I fought for him, and my husband and I had it taken off his record because the other kid provoked him and they were playing. But I never broke the power of that being prophesied over him. cool thing is he didn't have a violent spirit. I didn't let him watch violent DVDs. I didn't let him, you know, do that stuff. He didn't have a violent spirit. If he had, as big as he is, he would have really, it could have been really bad. But what would happen is he would just intimidate. But the other thing was he had a spirit of heaviness from watching his sister die. And then God's been dealing with all this stuff. And that spirit of heaviness made him heavier, even though he's lost a lot of weight since he got free from it. But he also saw his brother, who was very, very thin, who makes you look big, who was very, very thin, was sick and sickly. And so as a little kid, it's like, oh, you don't want to be that skinny because that means you're sick. So he started liking his weight until he hit high school, and then girls didn't date him because of his weight, and that's a whole other group thing. But basically, God's been tearing all this apart. It's all intertwined. Why did he take on bully? They accused him of it because he was bigger than the other kid. Oh, well, this is a way to make people, this is a way to say, I like being big, when really he didn't. Do you see what I'm saying? So all this stuff is mixed in there.